The Jewish Hour is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher, smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
24 hours to go. I'm going to the Seder. Something to do and somewhere to go. I'm going to the Seder. Get me to the airport. Put me on a plane. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I got pasta on the brain. Put me in a taxi. Put me on a train. Oh.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Thunman. We're getting ready for Pesach, and so are you. On this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with Aviva Kanoff, who's written a book called The No Potato Passover. Quite very interesting and exciting stuff. Indeed, if you know anything about keeping Passover and not having potatoes. We got some Passover music and some other things like that. We won't be talking about the portion of the week as there is not one. It's been usurped by the holiday of Passover. We hopefully have time for a dynamic Hasidic story dealing with the holiday. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The annual Land Day event turned violent Friday in Israel when Arabs began hurling Molotov cocktails and stones at soldiers at a checkpoint near Jerusalem. Soldiers responded with tear gas and deployed the Skunk, a vehicle loaded with cannons spraying a noxious-smelling liquid. A machine that transmits high-frequency sound waves was also used to disperse the crowds. There are no reported injuries. French police detained 19 people in a crackdown of Islamist extremists with more raids to come, according to French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Sarkozy promised a crackdown on Islamic extremism immediately after the murders that occurred in Toulouse. Friday's raids are seen as a high-profile show of force. The French president is up for re-election this year. Israel is cutting off all relations with the United Nations Human Rights Council. The move comes as a response to the Council's decision to establish a fact-finding mission into Israel's settlements in the West Bank, a decision that was condemned by the Israeli government. For the first time since entering operational use, the Iron Dome battery was positioned in the greater Tel Aviv area. During the recent escalation, the Iron Dome intercepted 90% of missile attacks on urban centers. Several dozen Jewish settlers moved into a home near the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron that they say they purchased. The settlers, including whole families with children, moved into the house at 1 a.m. on Thursday evening. I don't know if that's Friday morning or Thursday night. I'm sorry. IDF forces moved into the area after news of the takeover became public and declared the area immediately a closed military zone. This goes back to like the days when they took over the Hadassah Hospital, which is now like the Jewish center in Hebron. The U.S. Supreme Court sent the case of a man who wants to list his city of birth as Jerusalem, Israel, on his passport back to the Court of Appeals. Normally, the passport of a person born in Jerusalem does not include the word Israel. Congress enacted a law saying that a person could request Israel be written in their passport. The State Department, however, has refused to comply. The Supreme Court's decision forces the appeals court to decide. An explosion destroyed a new ambulance for visitors to the Umani grave of Rab Nachman of Breslov in Ukraine. Police are investigating possible arson, but the fire may have been an accident. And finally, corrections department officials in Nevada have settled a lawsuit involving an inmate who was suing the department's universal diet for not being kosher, and now the man will be given kosher food. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Listening to the Jewish Hour, we have on the live line Miss Aviva Kanoff, who is the author of The No Potato Passover Cookbook, A Journey of Food, Travel, and Color. How are you today, Aviva?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Okay, so you've got this cookbook over here, and the premise is no potatoes. And I know, and everybody else knows, that when it comes time to Passover, which is an eight-day all-you-can-eat fest, that we usually wind up gaining anywhere between 5 to 10 pounds. And taking out the potatoes is just going to ruin all that.
I know, that's unfortunate. You won't have to take out your shoes after you have this.
Indeed, indeed. So, tell us your impetus in writing No Potato Passover, please, LaViva.
Sure. Well, actually, last year, I decided to challenge myself with the No Potato Pesach Challenge because I, like many other people, was sick of just making potatoes for 8 days straight. And, you know, everyone's trying to lose weight the whole year, and then they're like, oh, no, Pesach's coming. We're going to get, you know, we bought all these Pesach clothes that we're not going to get fit into, you know, so that's a problem. And, but aside from that, that's just a side measure. I just got really bored of making potatoes, and I wanted to challenge myself, since I do the cooking at home. I wanted to see what would happen if we didn't use one potato.
Okay.
So I told my mom, and she freaked out. But I told her, you know, don't worry, you can use them for car pots. But other than that, I want to see how it goes.
Okay.
And I was really surprised with the outcome.
Okay, now you've incorporated in your cookbook, brand new on the Kosher for Passover scene is quinoa. People are really just starting now, just still finding out about quinoa. I remember way back when I first became religious in 1976 that people started asking if we could have brown rice on Shabbos, not on Pesach, of course. And people who were like raised religious had no idea what brown rice was. And here it is now in the 2000s. Quinoa has been around. I don't know, it gained popularity about 8-10 years ago. And about 3-4 years ago, people decided to think about eating it on Passover. And I see that you've incorporated quinoa into many of your recipes. So first, for people who have never heard of the word quinoa, Ben, you ever heard of quinoa? Ben has never heard of quinoa. Okay. So tell Ben, our trusty board op, what is quinoa? And maybe if you know a little bit about the controversy and how you're going to use it on Passover, please, Aviva.
Well, luckily I'm a little bit informed about all of those questions. Try to help you out. Quinoa is actually, people think of it as a grain because it looks like a grain, similar to couscous, but it's actually a seed, and it's from the cabbage family. It's a chenopod. It's from the cabbage family. It looks, you know, to the human eye, it looks similar to couscous. So it looks very similar to a grain. It's actually a vegetable. So you can have gum on it. It's, you know, it's not mazonos. It's not a grain. But the controversy is that unless you have your mazola in Bolivia, where your quinoa is from, you know, it's grown all over South America, and it's been a superfood there for thousands of years. Americans are just catching on to it, though. And there is a huge controversy in the Jewish world because, you know, a lot of people don't have a masorah in quinoa, so they're like, I don't know.
Could you explain the term? Could you explain the terms masorah, please?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, people, you know, the Jewish tradition relies heavily on what our ancestors have been doing for thousands of years, and that's really important in our tradition today, and how, you know, how we keep Judaism today. So there are new things that are happening all the time because this is the modern age. So sometimes there are conflicting views with modernity and our past traditions. So just like, you know, we didn't have electricity in the time of some of our great sages, it doesn't mean that we can't use electricity today.
Yeah, yeah. I know. If I can just interrupt you with a little anecdote, people are very, very good, very fussy when it comes to Passover. And my grandmother used to say, everybody's Mr. Goss, everybody's craziness is okay on Passover. I was in Australia for a while, and the chief rabbi of Australia, a very formidable, brilliant man, very charismatic, and he said that he did not eat avocados on Passover because his mother, of blessed memory, never ate avocados on Passover. And it was sort of like, well, duh, your mother never saw an avocado, so she never ate it on Passover. So, of course, you know. But thank God we do eat avocados. And so it depends on what your traditions are. So go ahead, continue, please. We're back to quinoa. Yeah. What was the controversy then?
So the controversy this year is because, you know, for the past few years, I myself only heard about quinoa 2 years ago. For the past few years, you know, since I heard about it, I've been asking my rabbi in Miami, you know, if it's permissible to eat on Pesach, and can we apply it? Does it have to have an OUP? And he said, as of last year, you were able to buy a big bag at Costco, and just, you know, if it's a sealed bag, you were able to use it. But this year, because quinoa has really been catching on, and it's a known superfood because all of its qualities, like high fiber and high protein, and it's really, really, really healthy for you. So people want to get a piece of that. And since they started growing it more locally, people have been known to grow it near barley.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's grown near barley, they're thinking that it might be an issue of quinoa.
So there might be some sort of like cross contamination with the barley, which would be considered not Passover worthy, and the quinoa.
Right.
Okay. Now,
so
just go ahead.
To get around that, is, you know, so the rabbis are like, okay, that's, you know, I see that this is a problem this year. You can't just rely on any quinoa, but they have a Passover run.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're able to make, you know, you're able to order quinoa that has had no contact with barley or wheat or grain or any other thing that might make it hummus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not able to eat.
I've been having a running debate with some of the rabbis over here. The I do supervision for the OK, which is one of the kosher supervising agencies, and they receive, one of the things I check out is they repackage quinoa from 50-pound bags into 1-pound bags. This is in for Eden Foods, and they are so meticulous in how these individual things are packaged. They package a lot of things in these little 1-pound bags. The extent that they go to prevent cross-contamination is such that the USDA has said about their stuff that you don't even have to write in a bag processed in the same plant that processes wheat, for example, because they just do, whenever they get done with anything, they do just a tremendous scrub down. So I asked the people, the who's who at the OK, can we put an OKP on it? And they said, we're not there yet. They didn't want to be, as one rabbi said, the first person to declare quinoa kosher for Passover, but it may be coming. My kids eat quinoa on Passover, and we use the Eden variety. But it does require, as the way that people who eat rice, for example, on Passover, have to check through it 3 times to make sure that there's nothing stuck to any of the grains. Go ahead, Aviva, continue.
Yeah, there is, you know, there's definitely a controversy. I know that Starkey gave a hexer on it this year. They spoke about it, and the OU is still a little bit hesitant. Just like you said, they don't want to be the pioneers in, you know, in such a controversial issue. But like I said, I pick it and check it out myself, you know. Hopefully that's my next trip.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the quinoa issue. That's good. I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah. Also, you know, I just wanted to say, I mean, this is a Passover cookbook, but I really recommend people eating quinoa all year, even if, you know, if they don't want to eat it for 8 days, you should definitely eat it for the rest of the year, because it's a wonderful, wonderful superfood.
I agree. My quinoa has my endorsement. It's one of the few, I'm on one of those, like, diets, and quinoa is one of the few starches that I'm allowed, or few grain-like commodities that I'm allowed to eat, because it's not a starch. Anyway, so the other recipes, where did you get your recipes for your some of your main dishes, like your Hungarian beef goulash, for example, Aviva Kanoff?
Where did I get that? Well, what I did is adapted a lot of well-known recipes, and I kind of put my own twist on it. If you look for a Hungarian, typical Hungarian beef goulash, you will find many potatoes in there, but I just took them out and tweaked it to my liking.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a lot of recipes like duck à la ronde, let's say, which is a very classic recipe, and it's usually a convoluted recipe that takes up to 4 pages long until you get it right, and I basically simplified it. You know, I didn't come up with the term duck à la ronde by any means, but I did simplify it to make it kind of more a household ingredient. And, you know, I also wrote, you know, I give some tips in the book. Just to kind of help people out while they're cooking. And I said, listen, if you can't find a duck, just use a chicken. It'll, you know, you don't have to go out and look for a little 5-pound duckling.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, are you going to make duck this Pesach?
No, I hate duck.
Fair enough.
I hate duck and lamb, but I had to make it for the
general
purpose of
the cookbook,
because I know I'm not the only one in the world.
Right.
My dog actually ate the duck and the lamb bones. I was like, here, Frankie.
Okay, there you go. My wife makes duck about once every 8 years, and that was last November. So we're not getting duck again for about 8 years because it is such a pachka, as my grandmother would say.
It's a pachka, but it's, you know, if you have chicken ailerons, it's really yummy too.
Okay, terrific. Now, what do you people eat? One of the things that happens with me is that I am exclusively a shmura matzah consumer, which is the handmade shmura stuff, which shmura matzah we're going to have sitting in our house for the 8 days of Passover. We're going to have 13 people. So feeding people matzah for 13 days gets a little bit on the pricey side. So the potato comes in handy, actually, when someone says, I'm hungry. So you say, okay, we got these potatoes. This is going to fill you up. Instead of consuming matzahs at $18 a pound, we can get potatoes at 33 cents a pound. So what? How are we getting satiated on the no-potato Passover, Aviva Kanov?
Well, the truth is, you know, if you're open to eating quinoa, that is super, super filling, and it has all kinds of nutrients, protein, and fiber that you're not getting from a potato.
Okay. What else?
And there's the spaghetti squash, which I use a lot as a pasta substitute, and if you eat that, you're getting full of fiber, full of nutrients. You're really, really full. You can eat it with tomato sauce and cheese. You can eat it with meatballs. You can eat it with pesto. You can eat it with all your favorite spaghetti recipes that you usually eat during the year.
Okay. But you don't have any aversions to French fries, do you? You're not like an anti-French fry person.
I don't have any aversions to French fries or mashed potatoes. But, you know, I just wanted people to branch out because I know that people go into freak-out mode when it comes to Pesach, and they run to the store and they buy 50 pounds of potatoes. And I just, you know, I wanted to kind of lighten the mood a little bit and the menu.
Okay. Now, you've tested this philosophy of no potato Passover last year in your own kitchen. How did it go over?
It was really, really, really awesome. It was so much better than I expected. My family was really surprised. My friends were really surprised. And not only did I not eat potatoes during Passover, because I was cooking, you know, because I was working on the cookbook all year, I basically hardly had potatoes for the rest of the year too. You know, so my friends would come over for Shabbos. I host a lot of Shabbos meals, and I usually have around 10 to 15 people there. And they're like, okay, great. Are we having potatoes this week? And I'm like, nope. You know, it kind of became a joke with them that we've been eating like Pesach desserts and Pesach food all year round. But so far, no one's complaining.
Okay. That's awesome. That is really awesome.
You know, I'm not putting a ban on potatoes. You know, people are more than welcome to eat potatoes as much as they want. I just, you know, like I said, I really just wanted to give people options and open themselves up to different kind of recipes that they're not used to.
Okay. Did you encounter any kind of glitches when making the cookbook? Did things like you're thinking, I'm going to make some of this, and then try doing it, and it really didn't work for Passover?
Yeah, actually, what I do when I experiment and it doesn't come out good, I kind of like bury it in the garbage underneath things, like hide it under newspapers so nobody sees.
Frankie doesn't get it?
No. Frankie doesn't get it. I hide it from her. It's really, really well hidden. I don't like to have that under my belt that I created something disgusting. So, but yeah, there were some pretty bad recipes.
Would you like to
luckily
share?
I've been cooking. What?
Would you like to share something to just like don't warn people? Don't try this at home, folks.
I tried this recipe. Only one comes to mind. I tried this recipe where I mixed quinoa and meat. Like a ground beef, and I stuffed it in a cabbage, and it was like the least. I stuffed it in an acorn squash, and it was the least appetizing thing I ever ate or looked at. I'm like, this cannot be in the cookbook.
Okay, fair enough. It sounds like that's possible. You have to cook the quinoa first, though.
Yeah, you cook the quinoa first, and this is really important. I was doing a bunch of cooking demonstrations to promote my book for the past 2 weeks. And, you know, there's the bag says if you buy a box or a bag of quinoa, it says to cook about 15 minutes. And I find that you have to cook it for at least 20 to 25 before it's edible. And also with the spaghetti squash, I me and my dad were sitting in the kitchen, and people had mentioned that they tried to make spaghetti squash, but they didn't have a lot of lock in the microwave. So I basically, I put a spaghetti squash in the microwave for 10 minutes without putting splits in it, without cutting it open.
And it exploded.
And it exploded.
Right.
So it definitely will do that if you don't puncture holes in it to air it out.
Yes, indeed. What I found an interesting thing, so we were talking about quinoa. Once happened that someone accidentally, quinoa is generally like all grains, is two cups of water, one cup grain. And someone actually in my family did it like they, for some reason, put in four cups of it, and then they forgot about it, and it just like cooked. And it cooked for like 2 hours. And what happened is the quinoa continued to expand. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it turned into like the quinoa that ate Cleveland. It's just and it turned into the consistency. It lost its grain consistency and turned into a mush. So I'm thinking we could do like a Pesachtik, a Mamalig. That would be like really awesome, which is like this cornmeal mush with vegetable stuff going on. So, and there's also the story of when my daughter grabbed the wrong bag, thinking she was cooking quinoa, and grabbed the sesame seeds, because it does look like sesame seeds. And as much as she tried to boil those sesame seeds, they did not turn into quinoa. So, something else to discuss. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We're talking to Aviva Kanef, who has written The No Potato Passover. As people who are familiar with Passover know that you have to do something because we're not eating bread, and it's always been traditional, at least in Ashkenazi homes, to consume copious quantities of potatoes because it was like a readily available commodity. Now, if you would be from a Sephardic background, but being from Jews from North Africa or from the Middle East, your no potato Passover would be a moot point, would it not, Aviva Kanef?
Technically, if you're just thinking of it in terms of not eating potatoes, but there are so many, you know, I use so many different vegetables that even Sephardim would want to use them, you know, so it's not a bunch of different rice substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also, like I said, about the difference between rice and quinoa, because I get asked that question a lot. So for Sephardim that eat rice, you know, because they're allowed to, if they wash it three times, and a lot of them say that it's more of a pachka, like you said, than it's worth. But even for the Sephardim that eat rice, I would suggest eating quinoa because, like I said, you know, you don't get any fiber or protein or a lot of vitamins from rice that you do get from quinoa. So I would suggest, you know, for the Sephardim that eat rice, substituting their rice dishes with quinoa as well.
Okay, terrific. We're just about out of time for this segment, and thank you for coming on. The book is, again, The No Potato Passover by Aviva Kanef. It's available wherever fine Jewish books are sold. It's on Amazon. And who's the publisher? I don't notice a publisher on it.
I'm the publisher.
Oh, self-published. Okay. Swell. We got it. I have a person who's an agent who sends me all kinds of stuff all the time, and that's who I got this cookbook from. It's actually wonderful. The pictures are wonderful. Tell us about the photography. Just real quick.
That was the best part. I love traveling, and I wanted to find a way to incorporate my travel photography into my books. Because, you know, when I read cooking magazines, let's say, I'm always intrigued by the recipes that have a bunch of travel photography, and, mm-hmm. you know, incorporated, where people have gone, you know, where they've gone to France, and they've had all kinds of French cuisine, but they include pictures of France. That's always my favorite part.
Okay.
Also, I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
By profession as well, you know, that's really my passion. So I wanted to make the book just really colorful, really fun, kind of like the family heirloom that I never had. Just, you know, put together a bunch of pictures and a bunch of fun photography and all kinds of recipes that people actually want to eat that don't take too long, because I don't cook anything that takes longer than 10 minutes to make. That's my claim to fame. So
that's a good rule.
None of these meats where you have to marinate it for 3 weeks before you cook it. I start cooking for Pesach the day before, and I'm done. The time to kill, go swimming. My parents' house in Miami before the saving.
Oh, I wish I had a pool I could go swimming in. This is Michigan, after all. But okay, we want to thank you so much for coming on. Again, it's the No Potato Passover of Aviva Kanef, and continued success.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on.
Okay, and a happy and a healthy Passover.
Thank you. You too, and to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Preparing for Passover can be a real, pardon the expression, grind, because the prohibition of eating something which you're allowed to eat for 51 weeks of the year makes it such that you really have to get rid of any grain type commodity, grain being things that are made out of wheat, barley, oats, rye, or spelt. It used to be when I was a kid, people would say, what's spelt? But now spelt has come back, and I eat spelt all the time. Actually, we have replaced barley in the Finman Chulent with spelt berries, available in Natural Food Patch in Ferndale. And so we have to get rid of all of that. And you never know where a crumb might be lurking. So people get kind of frantic and frenetic about it. But it's still Passover. It's still a holiday. And what you're supposed to be is, this verse says, V'samachta v'chagecha. You should be happy on your holidays. So we have Yidden Mint and Fiddle, which is an upbeat and lively tune. This is the Budapest Klezmer Band. And we're doing it for all the people preparing for Passover.
Felder Wegen, oi verwogen hei, mit Sonnen, Wind und Regen, vorn Klesmer zwei. Ach, Hiddisch, oi, ach, Hiddisch, sorgt für seine Seidel mit dem Bier, Arie mit dem Bad, das Leben ist so little, so wohl es ein Bad. Hey, jeden Film, Schmittel, eines Leben ist das Bad. Ittel mitten viel, Arie mitten was, das Leben ist so little, so wohl es ein Bad. Hey, jeden Quill, Spill, Reit, das Leben ist ein Bad. Als ich steht euer Lohn, yeah.
Healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HIGH-HIGH.
Near the Jewish Hour. People tend to take themselves very serious around now. This is like serious Passover things going on. My wife says I don't worry. I just make other people worry. So, but what would a Passover show be without some sort of Passover parody? So, we have a Jewish rock opera called The Passover Rhapsody for all you serious people.
Is this the real life? No end to slavery. Calling Pharaoh's fire. No escape to reality.
Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see.
Cause 10 plagues come, then we'll go. Blood and frogs, lice and boils. Moses, you are dreaming. This could never happen to me. To me. Pharaoh, let my people go. To fulfill our destiny. With the Torah, we'll be free.
Moses, tell your God I've just begun. My heart is hardened. The Hebrews are here to stay.
Pharaoh!
Of hell is coming.
Thunderbolts and lightning. Very, very frightening me.
Days of darkness.
Days of darkness.
Days of darkness.
Days of darkness.
We cannot see, we cannot move.
Condemn this war crying fiasco.
Listen here, Pharaoh. Let my people go.
Who is God? No.
We will not let you go.
Let us go.
Who is God? We will not let you go.
Let us go.
Who is God? We will not let you go.
Let us go.
Will not let you go.
Let us go.
Never let you go.
Let us go.
Out to the desert to die.
Jump in the water and watch God call the water high. Die, God did this for us, die, drop the Egyptians so we can get out of here.
Thank you.
be free.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Parish Wolfman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more song. Classic Shlomo Carlebach, V'hisha Amda, which is taken from the liturgy of, I can't say liturgy because the Haggadah is not a prayer book. It is an outline, as I say. It's a point for jumping off and discussing. And Shlomo Carlebach doing V'hisha Amda.
And I'm sure you all get up from the Seder, start dancing like crazy. Friends, I just bless you. Please make the Seder night exciting and beautiful so your children will be with you, sing and dance, and every minute let it be clear to you. Seder night, God is sending the parents. It's in your hands. You're the parents. They're your children. Look at me, God. What is God? But a parent taking care of his children. Friends, sometimes our children are angry at us because we didn't give them enough courage. Sometimes our children are angry at us. Why do you just give me words? Why didn't you give me taste? And the Rosh says, why didn't you ever tell me how holy I could be? And the Talmud says, yes, I'm so glad that you taught me how perfect life is, how perfect Yiddishkeit is. I want more than perfect. And the Shenige Lishon says, is Yiddishkeit always asking and begging? Is Yiddishkeit something so much deeper? Deeper than all this. And Saturday night we are fixing it. And I bless you to sit together with your wives, your husband, and children. There's so much simcha. There's so much joy. And let every second be the deepest redemption. Hey, 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 hey.
Bornstein's is having a sale this week before Passover. Get it in now. This is the final week for doing that. They've got wine by the case, 15% off. And on sale this week is Rashi and Kedem wine, less than $4 a bottle if you buy it by the case. Mention this ad and receive an additional 5% off on all your purchases, not just your Passover purchases. This is the final week of that. They have shmura matzah, the hand-baked shmura matzah types, and all your other needs for your Seder. You'll find it there at Borenstein's Gift and Music, located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696. Tell them you heard about it on the Jewish Hour and receive an extra 5% off. Got a question for Cheskel Bornstein? Call 248-967-3920. That's 967-3920. Bornstein Gift and Music. It's there all year round, and especially for your Passover needs on Greenfield Road and 696 in Oak Park. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have been making light of Passover for the last 45 minutes of the show. And now it's time to talk serious. So I have my serious face on, and I'm trying to gear myself into seriousness over here. It's really tough for me, folks. What is the purpose of Passover? It is not to see how much you can consume and how you can consume it. It's not a consumption holiday, even though we do consume lots of food. The whole purpose of Passover is to try and experience what they experienced on the first Passover. The Shelah HaKodesh, who passed away in the year 1698, wrote a compendium of Jewish thought and insight, commented that what makes a holiday on the Jewish calendar is not because we just mark it there in separate, different colored ink, but because the same things spiritually that occurred the original time that that holiday occurred are again happening on that day. It's true for Shabbos, for example, that on the seventh day God rested. So therefore, we have this tremendous godly revelation of the Sabbath. And it happens again on Passover, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Those are the five Torah holidays. And so we are privileged, for sure, on the first night of Passover. And our story is going to focus on the second night of Passover, as a matter of fact. To be privileged to the same godly revelation that occurred 3,300 years ago. We call the holiday Passover, not so much as the lore goes that the angel of death skipped over or passed over the homes of the Jewish people who had taken the blood of the Paschal lamb and smeared it on their doorposts as an indication, don't stop here, buddy. But in order to convey, in order to have such an event, a feat, a miracle, such as the plague of firstborn, and in the instance, every firstborn, anything that had a title firstborn, whether the firstborn of the mother, the firstborn of the father, the firstborn of the animals, instantaneously all died. This could only be done by a level of godliness which supersedes the creation. The word Pesach, what got passed over, were the laws of nature, totally and completely. This was a forerunner to the splitting of the sea and the eventuality, 7 weeks later, of the giving of the Torah on Sinai. All of these events, the Exodus of Egypt, the splitting of the sea, the giving of the Torah, were an expression of divine essence passing over the creation process. We're told that this revelation happens every single year. And we'll take it one step further. It's not the exact same revelation. I hear you saying, aha, we knew it. It's actually a higher revelation, because it doesn't suffice with last year's revelation this year. Last year was only 5771. This year is 5772. So it would behoove us to experience the same Passover as last year. And indeed, one of my tests, personally, is not to repeat the same things that were discussed last year. Because, hey, listen, Baruch Hashem, I have 7 kids, and they don't want to hear the same things that I was saying 26 years ago and 24 years ago, or for that matter of fact, even last year. It's amazing how much my kids remember. Oh, you said that last year. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it was last year. So I am constantly, the last week, this week before Passover, and preparing, I'm looking for new sources, and there's so much, like everything else, to speak about, and so many ways of conveying our experience with this great revelation. It's for that reason that the Passover Haggadah, which is the book which is used as an outline, I stress the word outline. It's not the whole thing. It's not the start and finish of it. It's just an outline. It's a jumping off point for discussion about the Passover story. There are so many modalities to it. Whatever your forte might be and your perception, there's a Haggadah out there for you. From everything from the vegetarian Haggadah to the sociologist's Haggadah to the Kabbalist's Haggadah, and there are many of those. You name your philosophy, cause, or anything else, there's a Haggadah written for you. And you can put your own spin on the Seder, and that's perfectly okay. Because it's sort of like the rules of Passover when it comes to the Haggadah is sort of like it's an aid. The word Seder means order, and everything has to be done. The first thing you have to do is you have to have a glass of wine and then go wash your hands and eat a piece of vegetable dipped in salt water and discuss the Passover and eat the meal. That's all very well and good. But there's a section in the middle called Magid, which means tell the story. However you feel comfortable telling a story, that's fine, because the revelation is so great that it encompasses all of it. Just so long, at the end of doing all of this, you feel, you know what? I can go do it better now. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
This is Jim Hiller. At Hiller's, we support all things Michigan, which is why we support The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The way to do that? RabbiFinman.com. Need to sell your chametz? Drop me a line. Go to the contact page. Need a shmura matzah? We still have some shmura matzah. Contact me at RabbiFinman.com, and we can get you some of that special, handmade, authentic, absolutely vital for your Passover Seders. I recommend all of my friends use it just for the Seders. Minimum, if you want to go full-fledged, we go through many pounds at the Finman House of these curious crumb crunchings. Yes. So we've got Shmura Matzah. Give me a call, RabbiFinman.com. We'll get you in touch with you. We'll get to the other. Want to talk to me about anything else? Got a question about Passover? RabbiFinman.com. Contact me. We also have the archived editions of the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U-Story, insights into the portion of the week and stories, and the very important donation page. It's April. It's a new month. We have to pay for April. Yes, we need your help. As in every month, we need your help. We've been on air now 17 years. We want to thank those people who became members of the Jewish Hour this last month. It's not too late. You're not going to be a member. Membership drive is over, but you can still donate. Go to the donations page, rabbifinman.com. Click a number. It's safe, easy, effective. Keeps us going. We're looking to get to number chai is where we're up to next time. Chai 18 is life. We got a story over here, a very interesting story. It involves, it happened about 150 years ago. It involves Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac of Zhidachov. Zhidachov is a city in Russia, who decided that he's going to travel after Passover. He's going to move to Israel. And it happened that in the second day of Passover, which is only celebrated outside of Israel, he showed up for the evening prayers, not in his festive garment, but in his weekday garments. And when it came time for the saying of the special prayers, the Hallel of praises, which are said on the second night of Passover, he stopped the prayers. And he went into his study, and his prayers just stopped. And after a while of a lot of murmur in the background among the crowd, he came out, he was wearing his festive clothing, and they proceeded with the festive prayers. At the Seder, the second night, I said, you're probably wondering what happened. He said, when I came to the second night, I just didn't feel anything. Something was missing. I didn't know what it was. But then I realized there's an extra sanctity living outside of Israel. So you have the sanctity of living inside of Israel, but you only get one day of Yom Tov, of the holiday. And he said, I resolved that rather than going to Israel and giving up the second day of Yom Tov, I'm going to stick around and appreciate the second day of Yom Tov outside of Israel. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. That's the show. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a happy and a healthy Passover. We're going to be totally recorded next week, as next Sunday is Yom Tov. It'll be just music only, but we'll see you in 2 weeks right again. Take care.
Listeners are discovering a way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. Income at HomeUSA.com has come to us for listeners who want to